I'm sorry. Come on up, James.
As was stated, we'll be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 28, reading from the New American Standard Version. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Thank you, James, for the Bible reading. I almost got the cart before the horse, didn't I? Get up before the Bible reader and think I'm ready to start to preach. Well, that first verse really has a lot to say about what I did just then. Notice, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted. King James Version says feeble-minded. So I wasn't thinking clear when I got up to preach before the Bible reading this morning. So let's bear with one another and mind because of just who I am and some that may be getting older and being feeble-minded. So, but faint-hearted, either way you look at it, faint-hearted or feeble-minded, we need to help one another. We've been talking about doing that which is good. And before we get into our lesson from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 28, which talks about good things that the Christian ought to do. And it warns about some things, a few things that we ought not to do. But it's basically talking about doing good and stay away from the things you ought not to do here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But Jason's prayer, he prayed for those that are sick, those of our number. And Alan mentioned in the announcements about those that are sick. And our prayers are needed for one another. Checking on one another is very important, and helping one another and spiritually, physically, materially is very important in the day in which we live. There are many that are struggling with health problems. Tomorrow, Jason has his first infusion for his bones. Brother Moore Drake has more infusions starting this week, I believe, and it's been a while since a few weeks since he had those. But those infusions can be tough. They can entail some problems sometimes, and we certainly would hope you'd pray for Jason and Moore that all goes well, that they have no bad side effects from that. Those that are going to have things done, such as pacemakers, Belmer this week. Things of that nature. We keep each other in our prayers and check on one another because those are good things that we ought to be doing without being reminded. But as you see a few minutes ago when I got up out of turn, I need to be reminded. I need to make notes. And if you're out with me anytime, you'll see that my wife will tell you that I'm probably one of the world's worst at making notes. We'll be talking about something we need to do tomorrow or next week. And I'll have my phone out, and I'll be putting it in my phone. And then I'll make a big note on a piece of paper, and I'll lay it on the table where we eat, because we like to eat when we're able. And I put that note there, and it'll be to remind us that tomorrow we're supposed to do this. The day after tomorrow we're supposed to do that. And as we go along, and I tell her, and she tells me, help me remember this, then I'll get a piece of paper right on it and lay it on the table. And you could post it on the refrigerator, but if you do, it's going to be cluttered with all those doctor's appointments and everything else this day and time. So try to make it that way. So doing good things that help us, good reminders. But let's get into our lesson this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 28 that James just read. I have those printed out on the back of the bulletin, those verses, and I want to just take verse for verse and talk about some of the things that are there, good points for me as a Christian, and I hope they will apply also for you in your life and help you in many ways, because I need a lot of help every day in trying to remember where I am, where I need to be, where I need to be going, what I need to be doing, what it is that should be a priority today. And of course, realizing that every day a priority ought to be for me and for everyone, seek heaven and the kingdom of God first, put God first in our life, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and to love your neighbors yourself. And I believe if we can do that, we will have a good day, because we're doing right toward God, and we can be thankful then that we know if he looks down upon us, he'll be pleased, hopefully, and then loving our neighbors ourselves is doing good to them also. But verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren." So the apostle is exhorting these brethren. He's giving them admonition to do this. See, I want to exhort you. I want to urge you. I want to encourage you. I want to urge you with warning to do this. Warn those who are unruly. So at Thessalonica, there were those that were unruly. Maybe some false teachers, maybe some that were walking disorderly. And we know there were some that were walking disorderly and were not working. And if it did not work, they should not eat, and they ought to be disciplined. So he says, warn those among you that are unruly. So it could be those that are involved in teaching false doctrine or following false doctrine. It could involve those that are lazy and don't want to work. They ought to eat. So warn them, you better be working, because the Lord may not come today. It may be sometime down the road, but in the meantime, you got to work, make a living, provide for your family, do the thing. Warn those that are unruly, people that are acting up. And so if I need to be called down because of my actions, the church brethren need to warn me, you know, that, hey, you're getting out of line. You need to reel this in. You need to calm yourself down. Warn those that are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted or the feeble-minded. So you think about that. Older people. As I grew up, my grandparents, I was the youngest in my dad's family on his side, and he was the youngest in his family on his side. But my mother was second from the oldest on her side. But nonetheless, my grandparents were old when I were born. And one of them, I don't even remember because she was so old, but I know she was a member of the Lord's church. She was a Christian, a hard worker. I was told those things about her. And so, but the grandparents, I remember my grandfather on the maternal side. He lived near us, and he was old, and he was a tall man, about 6'7", and he walked a lot in that day and time. And he would come by our house, going to his house, and he would walk by, and he had his old galluses he wore, and he's the long gray pants, and he'd have these galluses and this round like hat, and a farmer for years, and a man that was skilled in a lot of trades, building and craftsman, but he was old, and we had a storm pit which was out from our house, a ways from my daddy built our house, and my grandmother lived a ways from us, about like where the what we call the used to be where the preacher lived out here, about that far from us. And there was a storm pit built out in a field kind of between us on a hill, and it was an old one. And my daddy was in the process of building a newer one under our house. And in the meantime, this storm pit had a couple of holes in it that you could see out, and it actually leaked a little rain, but it's still safer than being out in a thunderstorm. But it came a terrible thunderstorm in the summertime, and my granddaddy was getting old, beginning to get a bit senile, and my grandmother was having a hard time. He was getting feeble-minded. And we went to the storm pit, and my mother went up and got my grandmother and got my granddad and got him in that storm pit. And it started lightning and thundering, and the lightning, the thunder clapping, and the lightning showing through that hole in that. And he was wild, and he got up. He was so tall, it almost hit his head. He pushed that door open. My daddy was trying to hold him, and he couldn't hold him. I remember I went out, and it was raining and storming and lightning. And them old long legs, he was going across that field and that garden toward their house. He was feeble-minded. The lightning scared him, and he didn't know where he was. And even the care for him was rough because... So, feeble-minded. But sometimes it's not just older people who get feeble-minded. Things happen to the younger. But the faint-hearted, We can be faint-hearted for various reasons. People may become faint-hearted and feel weak and left out. I talked to some people this week, and one has been faint-hearted, going through problems, issues, not health problems necessarily, but health problems combined with other issues. Family members are having to take care of. And so we can become faint-hearted for various reasons. It may be spiritually we may become weak for some reason, and we need to hold on to the Word and engage in prayer and lean on one another and lean on the Word of God and talk to our brothers and sisters to build us up. Maybe become faint-hearted if it's a physical ailment. We have a family member that's got some problems, having to take treatment for cancer, and we're all concerned. We're all concerned about him. And you know, it's easy to let things get us down if we're not careful. So that he says, we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, comfort the faint-hearted. So helping other people, building other people up, being there with other people when they're going through hard times, it may be a word, it may just be the appearance to be there, it may just be that a phone call, it may be a deed we can do. Help those people as best we can. Uphold the weak, and that comes together with it. Feeble-minded, faint-hearted, uphold the weak. And I'm sure the Apostle Paul has to be talking about the spiritually weak. Let's uphold one another spiritually. And if we're weak, if we've got problems physically, other issues we're suffering with, uphold the weak. Whether it be weak spiritually or weak physically, uphold one another. Help each other work through the hard times. Sometimes it's good just to be a sounding board. You know, it may be that you can just ask someone how they're doing, and if they start to talk, I finally learned after many years that sometimes I just need to keep my mouth shut and just let them talk. And a lot of times they'll talk through it and they'll tell you everything you need to know. And when it's over, you don't have to say a whole lot. And that's good on my part if I don't have to. And just being there sometimes. Uphold the weak. And then it says, be patient with all. Be patient with all. You know, when I got up out of turn today to come up here to preach, I had good intentions. When we said that last word of that song, I thought it's time to preach. I forgot about the Bible reading. And so, you're patient with me. James didn't say, now hold on there, big boy. He was. And when I realized James was standing there, excuse me. Have some patience. It may be Charles that pulls one of those things, and you need to be patient with me. And so you're patient with me every time I get in the pulpit, and I appreciate that. But being patient with all, spouses, family members, loved ones, friends, neighbors, we're learning patience, aren't we? If you go through a drive-thru today, you run through a drive-thru, you know, well, Chick-fil-A is doing a pretty good job, I hear. They lay line you up, double team you there. But now, patience. I hear people tell me, oh, wait, it'll take forever to get through that drive-thru. And I say, well, it'll take forever to go through any drive-thru. You got to have patience. And we're going to go try to go eat out. Well, it'll take forever. Well, get there an hour before you want to be there. And then if you're going to have to wait an hour, you're going to have to. You just got to be patient. And so we learn patience. Be patient with all. Verse 15, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. So evil is off the page. Doing wrong toward others is out of the picture. Don't think evil, don't do evil, think no evil, do no evil, have no animosity toward anyone. Learn to be the kind of person that can pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And for all. Helen and I talk about quite recently, when we've had COVID and we had an opportunity to reminisce a little bit about the places we've worshiped, the places we've preached, the people we've known, and how we've been blessed. But thinking about all the people that have been good to us, all the people that have done good, and you think about that, you think about pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. A lot of good folks in the church, everywhere, wherever you go, members of the church, good people. But do what is good, pursue what is good for not only ourselves, but for everyone with whom we come in contact. Just do the right thing. How many times have we heard that? Just do the right thing. How many times has God emphasized that from the Garden of Eden all the way through? Just do the right thing. Those that have done good, Revelation will hear him say, enter in. He's told Adam and Eve to do good, didn't he? Verse 16, rejoice always. And that's probably, is that not probably one of the hardest things for anyone to do is rejoice always? When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and with his sweat, his blood, I mean, the thing he was going through, knowing the suffering he's going to have to go through, and at that point, he knew what he was going to have to face. He knew what he'd come to do. He knew it was time to face it. But in all that, he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup be removed from me. But if not, thy will be done. He could rejoice in the fact that he knew that I came from the Father and I'm going back to the Father. I've got to go through this now. It's hard to accept that for any of us. But rejoice always. So my point is that even when things are going bad, I need to learn to rejoice. Even when things are tough, when we're hurting or when something's happened and something's going on in our family or with friends and we're worried about things, if we stop long enough to count our blessings, we can rejoice even in times of sorrow. We can rejoice even in times of hurt and in times of trouble. Rejoice always. The Christian is the one that can do that. I've had people tell me over the years after a funeral that they'd say, you know, it's different when you go to the funeral of a Christian. And they'd say somebody that belongs to the Church of Christ, usually the word they'd use. But because they said it's like there's a calmness there of people. There's sadness, but at the same time, there's a calmness and a rejoicing with those people, knowing that that where they're at with God. And I've had people tell me, how do Christians look at it like that? Well, there's a way that God works with us through His Word and gives us comfort through His Word and to be able to pray and lean on one another. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Goes right with it. Praying, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And I've told you several times in these lessons over the last few years that was one of the hardest things for me to ever learn to do is take the burden to the Lord and pray to Him and ask Him and petition Him and do what? Leave it there. And you say, well, Charles, you can't leave it there. Well, I'm human. It's still on my mind. But once I prayed and get it off my chest, and then He don't say, don't do what you know how to do, Charles. He don't say, don't go to the doctor, but go do what you're able to do and someone else can help you do that's right. But lean on me and leave it in my hands. Do what we're capable of doing. Do what we're supposed to do. And after that, we just have to leave it with Him. And just continue to pray. And pray, you know, if it be thy will. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give Him thanks. We give thanks for our food quite often. I'm sure we give thanks for our shelter, our clothing, our health. We give thanks for various things in our prayers here and at home and personal prayers. But it's always that we need to be giving what? Thanks to God. Because all spiritual blessings come from Him. And remember that it is Him, as Paul said on Mars Hill in Athens when he preached to those people, that it is in Him that we live and move and have our very being. So giving thanks always and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. And you know, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it talks about do not grieve the Spirit. And so when you think about don't quenching the Spirit, Holy Spirit was sent to the Father by the Son. And the Son said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. The Holy Spirit searched the mind of God and He brought the will and the mind of God to inspired men that gave it to us in the Bible. How do we quench or how do we grieve the Spirit? If we take the Word of God and we read it and we're bent on not obeying it, and we refuse to do it, we stop the work that the Holy Spirit, the words can do in us by not obeying them. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we do not obey the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit brought the words of God, the mind of God to us. So let's not stop the Word of God. Let's receive the Word. Don't put the Word of God out. Let it live. Let it live in us. Do not quench the Spirit. When I said Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Spirit. So don't resist the words that are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Receive with meekness. James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is the mind of God, which is given to us by the Holy Spirit. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is what? Which is able to save your souls. We don't want to stop something that's going to save our souls, do we? We want to receive it. We want to reach out and grab it. We want to hold on to it. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit, but receive the words of the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. That is, don't despise the teachings of God, the things that's been revealed to God through inspired men to us. Don't despise teaching of the Word of God, because the Word of God is so important. So don't despise the things that come, prophecies from the Word of God, the teachings, but accept the will of God. There's some things in the Bible that if we let it, it'll just frighten us. If we let it, it can make us turn the other way. But we need to not despise the Word of God. Sometimes we read the Word of God and it really hits home. It really steps on my toes. But I don't need to despise it because it's hitting me. I need to take a self-examination and say, you know, the words of the Spirit are right. And I'm the one that needs to change. And so don't despise prophecies. Don't despise the Word of God. Verse 21, test all things, hold fast that which is good. And you know, I've heard people use that verse in the wrong sense over the years a few times. A young person say, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to drink with my friends and I'm going to do drugs with my friends and this is my friend, because the Bible does says test all things. Now, what Paul's talking about is examine that and look at it. And if it's bad, don't touch it. If it's what y'all not to mess with, don't mess with it. If y'all not be involved in it, don't be involved in it. If it's not the Word of God, don't obey it. If it's not truth, don't follow it. Test it. Make sure. How do we test it? We test teaching by the Word of God. We test preaching by the Word of God. And we test it by that. And we measure it by what God says. So test all things. And then he says, hold fast to that which is good. We've been talking about in the last three lessons really, about good and evil. So we can look at the Word of God and it tells us what's good and evil. And from the human standpoint, we can recognize good and evil if we're skilling ourselves in the Word of God and understanding that. So examine it to see if what it is, and if it's something I ought not touch, don't touch it. If it's a place I ought not to be, don't go. Don't go. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Hold fast what is good. Verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. That makes common sense. It's very pointed. It's easy to understand. Abstain from every form of evil. Verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, is being faithful to the end. Being ready for the Lord when he comes so that we are found faithful. How do we do that? Let the God of peace clean us up by obeying His Word. Be sanctified by the Word. And the Word will sanctify us completely. It'll change our mind, our heart, and our soul, and our actions so that we comply with the Word of God. That our whole spirit, soul, and body is preserved by doing good and doing what's right. So that when the time comes, we'll be ready for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. We are called by the Word of God. We are called by the Scriptures. God is faithful. He cannot lie. His Son is faithful. He never did any sin. He left the perfect example. They are faithful. The Holy Spirit is faithful. God is faithful in all that He says and does and wills for us. and he does not lie. He keeps his word. We need to be faithful, because he who calls us is faithful, who also will do it. God is, the promises he's made, he's kept. The promises he's made that haven't been kept yet will be kept. That is that he's going to come to an end of time on this earth. He's going to send his son. His son's going to judge the world. And there's going to be a separation of the good and evil and the resurrection, going to heaven and hell. God will keep his promises. He's faithful. And we need to be faithful to respect that, because God will keep his word and we need to keep ours to God. Verse 25, brethren, pray for us. Paul said, brethren at Thessalonica, pray for us. He's asking them for the prayers. I need your prayers. We need each other's prayers. We need to pray for each other. Not just here in our services on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, but every day. We need one another's prayers. We need to pray. Verse 26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. That was a common practice. That was a practice of the times, a holy kiss. Today, the practice of the times is a handshake. The practice of the times is a handshake and a smile or a nod. The practice of the times is a knuckle or a high five or a nice, how do you do? Good to see you. That's what it's saying. Greet people in a nice way. Show kindness to people when you meet them. Maybe with a handshake. And sometimes it may involve a hug. Sometimes it may not, depending on the situation. Sometimes it may involve just a, good to see you. But greet all the brethren in a good way. In a good way. How do you do? I charge you by the Lord, verse 27, that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. It's important that the word of God be read and studied. Paul says, I want this epistle read to you and all the brethren. Why was that important? Because all scripture is important. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, proof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Scripture is important. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh hearing, and hearing what? By the word of God. Paul says, I'm not ashamed in Romans 1:16 of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So when he says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the brethren, there was something important in the letter to the Thessalonians that was there for Christians that they needed to absorb at that place. And it's important for us today. Very quickly, verse 28 concludes our verses. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You know, Barry, we are blessed beyond measure, aren't we? Ephesians 1, all blessings. We are blessed in every way with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus through God the Father. And he bestows his blessings on us daily, as Jason said in his prayers, the sunshine and the rain. How thankful were we last week? How thankful were you last week when those rains came and that grass grew? And that garden perked up. Don't look at the negative side of it and say, oh, I got to cut that grass that's growing. We needed that rain, because it rolled off somewhere to a pond so a cow can drink out of it, so we can have milk and food. It rolled off somewhere to a tree that can grow and bear berries or nuts and fruit. It rolled off somewhere to a stream that's gone somewhere, to a creek or a river that goes somewhere, to a place that can be used for drinking water and water for work. Are we think about how we're blessed. God is good, and he wants me to be good. And I know you're good. Let's keep doing good, because God's good. He's not going to give up on his word. I hope the lesson will encourage us to hang in there and do what's right. Share it with others, help others as we can, and help one another along the way. If you're here this morning and you haven't been baptized into Christ, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If you do and you're willing to confess that and can repent of your sins and be baptized, you can leave this building a child of God, receiving his blessings of forgiveness. If you're here this morning and need the prayers of the brethren for any reason, then Barry's going to lead us in the invitation song. And if you're subject, please come as we stand and sing.